here we go again, it's the game we love.
Play game.
Gotta us them the game.
Playing those mind games.
I'd rather play games than eat or sleep.
Just say games.
Come, come, play the game, play the game, play the game.
We gotta keep our minds on the game.
All the game. All right, welcome to KBOO. This is Winner's Bias, 90.7 KBOO. That really threw me off.
Speedy.
That was very speedy. That was not at all how we were supposed to start out this show. So this is America's first, best, and only live board game radio show.
Until further notice, that is.
Winner's Bias, a show about board games and not bending the cards, please. I'm your host, Nate, and with me is my buddy, James. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing good. I had a really busy weekend, which we won't talk about today, but hopefully next time, because we got something even better and more interesting.
Yeah, and if I get logged into the OLARC system here in a moment, you will be able to make comments on that, but I kind of got thrown off by the super fast theme song. So,
Mixing it up.
So we may or may not be on OLARC. And before we get started, we are firmly in our fall membership drive, and we want to wake the neighborhood. We're supplying that brain-burning fun that makes you want to gather around in the spirit of friendly competition and trying to raise $30,000 by September 21st. KBU is a volunteer-powered community platform that has been on the air for 56 years, and 80% of our funding comes from you, the listener. Donating to KBOO isn't like donating to someone's Patreon where you only help fund one show. It's like getting a whole cable package with oodles of shows in nearly every genre imaginable 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Please show your support by becoming a monthly sustaining member or just making a one-time contribution. Or if you already give to KBOO, consider increasing the amount. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Thank you so much to all of our members and listeners. KBOO couldn't exist without your support. All right. We'd like to welcome Alana Croisdell and Jeanette to Winner's Bias this week. Alana is the host and founder of GameCon at House on the Hill, the largest board game meetup in the Pacific Northwest. And Jeanette is the founder and host of GameCon
at GameCon PDX.
Core at the Core Food Carts in Southeast Portland. Welcome to Winner's Bias.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
So why don't you first tell us about how GameCon at House on the Hill started, Alana, and then we'll go on to talk about how the extension at Core formed.
Yeah, so I went to a board game meetup. I started going to a few board game meetups a few years ago, and at one of them, I was wondering, why aren't there meetups on Tuesdays or Fridays? Because there were meetups on every other day of the week. And they asked me if I wanted to host one. I was like, sure, why not? And before I knew it, I had like 12 people show up at my house for board games, which was more than most of the other events, that I had gone to. And the next time, 25, and it just kept going from there. And eventually we moved it to Saturdays.
That's great.
That's great that you would expect there'll be a lot of board game meetups on Friday. I would have thought that would be like a big day for it, but it's awesome that you got to help fill those niches out.
Yeah.
And how about you, Jeanette? How did the Southeast Core GameCon at Core start?
Well, the person who runs Core reached out to us. His name's Henry, and said that they would love to start hosting board games in their space, which is phenomenal. It's like a 5,000 square foot indoor space with outdoor food carts. There is so many options, and they have a new bar coming up. So he asked me, and I said, the space looks amazing. The tables are large and perfect for board games. We'd love to. And we've been doing that since May of last year.
Well, nice.
That's great.
Yeah, so we got the generalization of why you guys are here and what you guys are doing. We'd like to start off by asking you questions about the hobby and how you guys got, each of you got into the hobby. So yeah, so how did you get into the hobby?
Back in, as I was growing up, I liked to play just common board games like Sorry and Monopoly. But then in 2009, I was introduced to Settlers of Catan by some of our family friends. And I really liked that game, and from then on, we started playing more like gateway board games like Ticket to Ride and Seven Wonders and Small World, and we played those all the time, and I was always like begging my family to play. And eventually in 2016 we expanded our board game library to include even more games like Azul and Splendor. But it wasn't until we started doing the event that we expanded our library to have over 200 games.
I think it's really interesting. Last time when we were talking to Alex and Ty, they too came to the hobby through Catan, which I think is probably not a surprise, but maybe like the biggest influence in getting people into the hobby, despite the fact that me and James still
never played it.
Never
played it. We like to be different over here. Yeah. It is Portland after all. Got to be weird.
And how about you, Jeanette?
I would say it's very similar. You know, started as a child, loving board games. It's something that both sides of my families did. My grandparents did playing card games, something called Skip-Bo. It's a really fun game. Uno, of course. So all of the classics, something called Mexican Train. And from there, when I went to college, I was just like, what do? How do I connect with all these people who wants to play board games? So we just dove into playing board games weekly, and I just felt that you could really connect with each person and get away from a screen and bring a lot of laughter and fun. And so Catan was something, yeah. Of course. It is an entry level game board drug kind of. So Catan, I got addicted to it, and at one point I got married and I was like, we are having board games. Everyone's going to sit here, do nothing. So we're going to have a board game wedding. And I just did a ton of research on board games and it's been phenomenal.
I love that. That's just something different to do at the wedding. You've got all those people there anyway.
Yeah.
And now you can all like bring them all into what you love.
Yes. They stayed much longer. I still hear today, many years later, it was the best wedding they'd ever been to. Board games for the win.
That's the goal, right?
Yes.
You just want everyone saying, yours was the best.
It was the best.
How long have you each been in the hobby? And we'll just stick with you for right now, Jeanette.
Uh-huh.
And what changes have you seen over time?
I would say complexity. So game boards started with these base level... So game boards started with these base level mechanics, and over time they have evolved using these base level mechanics, getting more interesting, colorful, adventurous. I think there's a lot more co-op games, which is working together. So instead of being competitive and fighting against each other, you all win together or you all lose together. Those are some of my favorite games. So you're not going to have anyone in the family throwing pieces across the room. I've never experienced that, I don't think.
Sometimes that's half the fun.
Yes, it can be.
Your friends to throw something across the room out of anger because you beat them that hard.
To flip the table.
Yeah.
I heard there's an event where it is required that someone flip the table after every game. It's some sort of convention, and it's a fun thing.
The cleanup of that makes me recoil in horror. Just imagine
meeples flying everywhere.
Yes. Confetti.
The board game fight.
Yes.
And how about you, Alana? How long have you been in the hobby, and what changes have you noticed?
I mean, I've been playing board games pretty much my whole life, but when I got introduced to Catan in 2009 is when I started playing them more frequently, maybe weekly. And I've just noticed like more board games coming out and how easy it is to create board games. And there's like a big space for that in Portland.
Great.
And I feel like you can't get away from this question, but because it's in our society, but COVID, how do you think that might affect it? Did that affect any way you guys play games or anything like that? Either the conventions or...
I mean, we started the Game Con during COVID. So we had people wearing masks. We required vaccinations. And we had lots of ventilation and everything. And it was great that we had a space that people could go when there were no other spaces for socializing.
I guess it just becomes natural that there would be a big boom after people don't have to wear a mask anymore, can leave the house more.
Yeah, we definitely had an increase in attendance after it slowed down.
But also, it was just like, sounds like it was just a respite for people to have like a pretty safe space to just go and be yourselves and be playing the games, because everyone was missing that.
I would say it probably led to the success of GameCon, because people were cooped up for so long and now they finally had something to do with other individuals, and probably led to how rapidly it grew and how large our community is. I think we have like 600 plus people on our Discord, so I didn't even think of that.
They were stuck inside playing games with the same people over and over again, and now they finally get to get out.
Yes.
Which brings us to our next question, making gaming friends. How did you two find your gaming group friends? What did you do to get into game groups?
I mean, I went on meetup.com originally, and that's how I found so many game nights to go to before I started GameCon. That's the main place that I've looked. I haven't seen a lot of other options.
Was it a hurdle for you to, like, I know some people, like, going to the meetups just in and of itself is sort of a hurdle, just taking the steps of being like, I'm going to go to hang out with a group of people I don't know. Did you have any problem with that, or were you just like, I just love board games, so I want to go play?
No, I'm not too shy myself, so it's always been pretty easy to just go out and meet people. I think other people can be pretty shy, especially in the board gaming community, so it can be hard for other people, for sure.
That's why she's our leader.
I think that's what stopped me from playing board games for the longest time, was like having to go out and just jump into a group that I didn't know anyone. That's not that one for me, so I had to wait for my friend to force me.
Yes.
Kick me into it.
I would say Alana is pretty fearless, which is why she just started the board game group. When I found it, it was a year into its development, and there was already like 40 people signed up. Normally, I would be very cautious to go to new places, and sometimes people think, oh, it's at a house. Is it okay?
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? It's 40 people. If I don't like this, I could just leave, and no one will know that I was even there. So the amount of people, I think, is what made it most comfortable, because you don't feel like you have a spotlight on you. You can kind of watch everyone interact and kind of fade into the background. So if you are nervous, we do a good job at welcoming people. And
it's amazing. Great.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll just, real basic question. What's your favorite game?
Favorite. Of all time.
Of all the games out there. So not that basic anymore, Nick.
Or some of your favorites.
I don't keep like a current, or like a long time favorite. I just have like games that I currently like. So I've been playing Quacks of Quedlinburg a lot. But that's not going to be a game that I'm going to like forever. I'm going to probably move on to other games and have those be my favorites. So I guess that would be my favorite right now.
She's multifaceted. I'm currently addicted to Space Base. I'm playing it on Board Game Arena, which is a phenomenal way if anyone can't get out of the house or doesn't have anyone to play with. You can play it for free, or you can get an account. Space Base I'm playing currently, but I would say my favorite is probably something called The Captain is Dead. You start the game, the captain is dead. You're basically on a Starship Enterprise. There is a red shirt that if he everyone gets injured, but the red shirt dies and then regenerates in different places. It's really fun.
Sounds a bit like Blood on the Clock Tower, where you start off and someone's dead, and now you've got to figure out why.
Well, Blood on the Clock Tower would be social deception. It is, quote-unquote, a heavyweight, a really intense strategy social deception game. The Captain is Dead is co-op. You all win together or lose together.
Oh.
Yeah, and you just got to get the engine core going, or the aliens will take over.
All right. So I'm going to do a quick reset here, and then we'll come back diving in. So you're listening to KBOO Portland. If you're just tuning in, I'm Nate here with James, and this is Winner's Bias. We're talking with Alana Croisdale and Jeanette. Alana's the host and founder of GameCon at House on the Hill, and Jeanette is the host and founder of GameCon at Core. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we're in the middle of our fun drive trying to wake the neighborhood and bring our community together. Thank you to everyone who has supported us so far, and what better way than to come together and play board games. So I guess, Alana, What prompted you to start organizing board game events? And I think you may have touched on this a little bit already.
Well, I was at a board game night, and I asked, like, why there weren't board game nights on Tuesdays or Fridays, and they just prompted me to ask if I wanted to host one, and I just impulsively was like, yeah, I'll do it. And then after I did the first one, I just wanted to keep it going.
So, and then what were some of the challenges to getting it started?
Well, it was pretty easy to get it, like, to actually get it started. But once we had it going, there were some problems. Like, we didn't have enough food because people were there for, I mean, the early events would run till, like, 11 p.m. or 1 a.m. So that's like 7 to 9 hours. And if someone's there for that long, we're going to need to provide food. But we would run out of food, especially towards the end of the night.
Yeah, I was looking at your Facebook page, something. It was, or one meetup. Of your pages, maybe. And yeah, the meetup page. And it was talking about the feast that you have prepared. And I was like, how do you manage the food at GameCon at House on the Hill?
So we provide a pretty good amount of food, but we also have people bring food, so it's a potluck style event.
Awesome.
And it's a good time. It's from 4 p.m. to 1 a.m. So wow. It's a good amount of time. If you want to play a long, heavyweight, we have people play 8-hour games. We have people play 15-minute games. So it's pretty much for anyone who's interested.
I guess you don't have to stay there the whole time. It's not like the door gets locked. You're here till 1.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, and I guess food's not really an issue at Core.
Yes, it's all the food is available. We have regularly 20 to 30 people. It's happening tonight. So it's every Tuesday. It's from 4:15 p.m. to about 9:30 p.m. It's a great way to meet people that you would see at House on the Hill and kind of like dip your toes into it if you feel a little uncomfortable going to a house.
So, Alana, you said like when you first started the meetup, you had 20 people come for the first one.
It was 12 for the first one, but 25 for the second.
Was when you first started, was you worried about getting people to come? Was that a thing that you'd like, I don't know how to do this part of it?
I wasn't sure at all how many people were going to come. So it was pretty much a surprise. I just had to like keep an eye on the RSVP count on Meetup. And that was all the information I had.
Yeah. Like, oh, do I have the space? Do I have the food?
Yeah.
And she's fantastic at promoting. She promoted on Reddit and I believe in other Discords.
Yeah, I went on Discord.com and you can find all the other Discords in the local area. I promote on Facebook groups and Nextdoor groups and anywhere else I could. I also messaged lots of people that I knew.
Is that how you started to get people to come to the Core, the one at Core as well, when you first made that?
For the Core, we ended up putting flyers up outside in the southeast area. But I did also promote it on several groups online, but I didn't really share it individually with people.
And we already had a very thriving community by then, so the first GameCon at Core was 50 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so everyone came out to support us. It's an amazing community. People create lifelong friendships and romantic relationships, and it's a phenomenal, welcoming community.
And Jeanette, when we were talking before we came in onto the radio, you were kind of talking about advantages to the meetup culture, and I forget the phrase you used about the freeze.
So if anyone doesn't know, in the Portland, Seattle area, it's difficult traditionally to find friends and break into friend groups in this area. It's called the Seattle freeze, but it extends all the way to Portland, and that is in comparison to other parts of the country. So there was even like an article 100 years ago about how difficult it was. And I would say that we have a lot of people who come in from out of town or have been here for a while and find it difficult to make friends. So it's a fantastic way to get a good quality group of friends that like aren't addicted to screens and like want to engage with you in person. We have laser tag events sometimes and birthday parties and movie watching nights. So it kind of like extends out. So it's a great place for community. And you don't have to play board games. Some people have never played board games now before. And now they're addicted and they're playing those 8-hour games sometimes. Not always, but sometimes.
So if me or Nate, oh, probably not Nate because he's hardcore on games, but if I came to one of your game conventions,
yes,
how would it be like make it easy for me to join the groups? Do you have like things put in place to make it easy for me to slide in?
As soon as you walk in, either to Core or GameCon House on the Hill, if anyone knows Betrayal House on the Hill, that's how we got the name. It's GameCon House on the Hill. So as soon as you walk in, there's a place to get a name tag. So you would write your own name tag. You can decorate it. Usually someone's going to welcome you, show you either where the food is in the house or at Core, tell you that all the games on all the shelves in the house or in the table at Core are available to play. You're often asked, like, are you new? What kind of games do you like? And if there is a game starting that is similar to what you like, if you're either like heavyweight, middleweight, lightweight, which is just a level of difficulty, easy to hard, we'll just put you in a group that's starting that is resonant with what you're interested in. Or if you bring your own games, then you can start a game and we will bring people to you. So you don't have to do the legwork of awkwardly introducing yourself. And here's the thing, you don't have to be good at memorizing things or playing it. Everyone is just so happy to play a game with somebody. So you don't have to know how to play it and you don't have to be good at it. Everyone's very gracious and will teach you.
So again, before we were talking, you had mentioned that you put a call out on Discord for like game recommendations from people. And
yes,
you said you heard a whole bunch of feedback. So are there like any games that were recommended in there that you like wanted to highlight for people or comment? Just want to make sure we get your Discord represented in here.
Right. So So Clover is a game. It's a party game, so it's very accessible for lots of people to play. I really enjoy it, and it's so quick to teach. I ended up bringing it with me to PAX West this past weekend, which is a video game convention in Seattle, and I played it with several different groups of people, and it was really easy to convince them to play and to teach them, and they all really enjoyed it. And it's just it's a word association game. So you have your own boards with words, and you have to write a word for each side, and then everyone else has to figure out how your word's associated.
It's a co-op, so you work together, and it's very fun, simple. Yeah, it's a great one. So some other ones are Just One, which is also called a party game. You write just one word. Everyone tries to get you to guess it. I really like something called Hues and Cues. So if you like color or you're artistic, that's a simple one to play.
I've been trying to keep my eye out for that one on a good price because my family, I think, would particularly enjoy it.
Oh, it's a really fun one. Another one is Concept. It's which is a fun, great one. I highly recommend Forbidden Island. That's a co-op where you're working together. The island is sinking. You need to get these treasures and flip over these cards. It's a little bit more difficult than some of the lightweight, but still pretty accessible.
How did you compile the library? And is the library like being used from one location to the other? Do you have someone hauling it from the big house to Core or part of it? Or how is it compiled and is it shared between the locations?
Yeah, so it is shared. We take maybe 40 of our games to Core each time. So we'll just take them off the shelves from their designated spot. And then when we need them back for Saturday, we put them back. Every game at House on the Hill has its own spot, and we have a spreadsheet keeping track of all of that. And if people want to see if we have a game or locate a game that they're looking for, they can just look at that spreadsheet that we have.
And we have these nifty, we printed out teeny little images of the board game so people know where to put it back. That is a recent occurrence that is very helpful that Alana and some other people concocted. It's been amazing.
At your conventions, are people allowed to borrow the games or rent them for a little bit, or is it they just stay there?
We don't rent them out. Board games can be quite expensive, $40, $50, $100, $200, depending on what it is.
An expensive hobby.
Yeah, it's quite expensive, so we mainly just say, when you're here, you have access.
Do you have someone to count the pieces periodically, or do you just be like, well, I guess one went missing at some point?
We do try to keep track of that.
we do our best, but we will find from a lot of other people's games, oh, here's another small piece that someone left. So we have a lost and found of all these teeny little pieces of all these little games. But in general, because it's not a bar setting, it's not just on the shelf where people can shuffle through them. In general, people take very good care of our games, and we really appreciate it.
That's great. I think we're wrapping up.
Well, we can start wrapping up, I guess. So I think one thing that we really need to do is, again, tell us people can find your events, because I think we've talked about it. But
so if you
need locations.
Yeah.
If you go to meetup.com and search for GameCon at House on the Hill or GameCon at Core, you'll be able to find our events. And from there, you can also find the Discord. You really just need the meetup.
Yeah, and it's under the umbrella Portland, like board games in and around Portland.
Yeah, so it's part of the meetup group Board Games in and Around Portland.
And under that are the two GameCon events. This Tuesday, today, from 4:15 to about 9:30 p.m., anyone's welcome to come and join us. And also, this Saturday is the GameCon House on the Hill. That happens every other weekend. And the GameCon at Core happens every single Tuesday.
And again, the Tuesday game nights, that's at the Core Food Carts in Southeast Portland.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Alana. Thank you, Jeanette, so much for coming. It's great having you here. Thank you all for listening to Winner's Bias. If you would like to comment on the show or suggest discussion topics, you can email us at winnersbias@kbu.org. I'm Nate.
And I'm James. If you enjoyed the program today, please support our full drive by making a tax-deductible contribution today to help us reach our $30,000 goal. Just go to kbu.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. And remember, it's not about the games you play, but all the cons and meetups you go to along the way. Have a good one.
Game.